Y'all just bear with me. I have never done this before. And I'm just a little bit nervous, but you know, God is bigger than any nervousness that I could ever feel. And when he was dealing with me on this that I'm going to speak on this morning, I felt his presence, and I knew that it was a word, not only to myself, but perhaps for others that are here this morning. And the Lord has, just kind of give a little bit of a background. You know, David and I have been in church for many years, and we've been through many things in the church. We've seen many splits, many hurts. And after a while, you know, sometimes you kind of get to the point where you don't want to get involved anymore. You just, I hate to say, you kind of get sick of church people. But sometimes you can be hurt so much that you just want to just step away. And I'm reminded of the times that, you know, that Jesus had to get away. He had to get away and get to a period of rest. And sometimes I wonder if it was just all the other junk that was going on that he had to get away from and just get his spirit restored. But anyway, the Lord's been dealing with me about some things, and he's stirring up some things in me that I haven't felt, and that I haven't, gifts that he's given that I've not used in years, and he's bringing those things back to life within me. And he had laid upon my heart a work in the church, and I've talked with the pastor and Sister Goodbread about it, and we might talk about that today, I don't know, but anyway, just something the Lord was dealing with me about. And in preparation for getting ready for that, I came upon a scripture in the Bible, and it just really stood out. And the Lord started dealing with me on this scripture. And during the course of the Lord talking with me about it, I said, you know, Lord, this is good, but I don't see how it applies to what I feel like you've called me to do. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, it's not for that. It's for something else. So I'm going to share with you what he shared with me, and I just pray that I can get it across like he got it across to me. So y'all just bear with me. If you have your Bibles, turn to Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 1 through 10. Before we read the word, I just want to give a little bit of a background. And again, y'all forgive me, my memory's not what it needs to be, so I had to type up some notes so that I would remember some of it. But the Lord had visited Zechariah the prophet and had given him a word to give to Zerubbabel. And y'all, help me if I pronounce wrong, y'all correct me, okay? I'm not good with some of these names in the Bible. But Zerubbabel was commissioned by King Cyrus to oversee the rebuilding of the second temple of God 70 years after Israel had been defeated by King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon at that time. And when Israel was defeated, the Babylonians came in and they totally destroyed the temple of God that Solomon had built. All the vessels of honor were all destroyed. The Bible says that just the whole temple and everything associated with it, even the houses built around it, were destroyed. And Jeremiah, as well as Daniel also, had given a prophecy that there would be a 70-year time frame there before the second temple would be rebuilt. And this is where Zerubbabel comes in. He was commissioned by King Cyrus, king of Persia, because Persia had since come in and overthrown Babylon, and they were in rule now. And he was commissioned by King Cyrus to oversee the building of the second temple. If we go back and we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, it tells a little bit about the story of when the first temple was destroyed. And it ends with, "And the Lord God sent to them messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place." And he's talking about his children of Israel. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. He allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed and the temple was destroyed as well." And then this is again is when Zerubbabel comes in. Some Bible scholars refer to this as the second Exodus. The first Exodus being when Moses led the children out after captivity from the Egyptians. And then this is being led out the second time after captivity of the Babylonians. Zerubbabel, he was just gung-ho and ready to get this work going for the Lord. They were given gifts. A lot of the materials that were needed to rebuild the temple were donated even by the king of Persia himself. They got to going on it. The foundation was completed. They had rebuilt the altar. Things were starting to look good. They were getting ready to do the sacrifices again. And some of their adversaries got a hold of what was going on. And they wanted to have a part in it. And isn't it how it normally works, that when God starts moving in something and it's ready to take off, the devil's going to get wind of it. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that when they get through rebuilding this temple, that the sacrifices are going to be restored, the priests are going to be back in place, the instruments of worship and praise, it's going to be like it was in the former day. Maybe not on the same scale because there wasn't as many people that went out, but anyway, the work of the Lord was going to be resumed. The commandments of the Lord, the sacrifices, all this was going to take place over again. And the adversaries, the enemy found out what was going on. So they came to Zerubbabel and offered their services to help rebuild the second temple. And Zerubbabel and some of the others saw through their intent and knew that their intent was not for the good, so they denied their help. Well, the adversaries got mad. In Ezra chapter 4, let me make sure I got my right one. Yeah, Ezra chapter 4, we read that their adversaries weakened, troubled, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. We then learn that as a result of what their adversaries had done, the rebuilding of the second temple, the work came to a halt. And for 17 years, nothing was done. The people got discouraged. As a result, Zerubbabel got discouraged. He knew that he had been commissioned by God to go out and oversee the rebuilding of this temple. His intent was good. His heart was settled. He knew he was there for a mission and a purpose. When the enemy came to cause conflict, he recognized it and turned them away. He did everything that he was supposed to do. But even in the process of all that, the enemy began to work on the other people and to discourage them. And finally it got to the point to where Zerubbabel just sat down because he was so discouraged. Many of the people in the rebuilding of the second temple, those that remembered the original, felt like that this second rebuilding would be on a much smaller scale. It wasn't going to be as important. And some Bible scholars believe that that also led to some of the discouragement. Zerubbabel had become tired and weary and had basically given up. But despite what had been done, God's word had been spoken, and he will bring the rebuilding to pass. God is not man that he should lie. It was prophesied that the second temple would be rebuilt, and by golly, God does not lie. It was going to be rebuilt. God visits with Zechariah the prophet to give Zerubbabel a word of encouragement, to encourage him to continue on that work that God has put in him, to continue doing what God called him to do. And then that's when we come into Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, and upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. But I want to bring you back to the first part of verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Can I tell you that sometimes whenever you start out doing work for the Lord, it might be just something small and simple that he places in your heart and he asks you to do. And sometimes we might look upon it and say, oh, it's just nothing, it doesn't matter, it's no big deal. But I'm telling you, if the Lord's called you to it, it is a big deal. I remember a few years back, I was at work, and it was a job that I was not very happy in, just a lot of heartache and stress and grief. But I knew the Lord had me there for a purpose, because I had tried to leave before, and the Lord just got a hold of me and told me that I was wrong to go and pull my resignation back and hang on a little bit longer. And I did. And I found grace, and they kept me on. So I knew again, the Lord confirmed me that he had me there for a reason and a purpose. And after several months, I began to question again, Lord, why am I here? I thought you had me here for a reason. It came about that there was a lady there that was going through some things, and I didn't know specifically what her troubles were, but the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, tell her Jesus loves you. Just tell her Jesus loves you. Something so small, three little words, nothing to it. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You've called me, you've commissioned me, you've given me this word, you've told me to speak it to this lady, and by golly, today's the day I'm going to speak it to her. The opportunity came where it was just me and her in the room, and I walked up to her, and I said, let me tell you something. And then at that last minute, I chickened out, and I didn't tell her. And instead of telling her that Jesus loved her, I told her her shoes were pretty. Went home, just felt like a total heel. I got to make right on this, Lord. I've got to do right. Well, needless to say, she didn't come back to work. She went missing. Several days later, they found her in a ditch. She was dead. Can I say that because of my disobedience, somebody else didn't tell her that? I can't say that. But, I think about that. Three small words. Something small that the Lord gave me, but I just really didn't give it the weight. I didn't bear what he was trying to do, and I didn't obey. And I've come to the place that if the Lord gives me something to do, I've got to do it. Small, big, it doesn't matter. If he's in it, it will work out. But anyway, back to what I was reading. Who hath despised the day of small things? Let's just remember that sometimes because something starts out small, it does not mean it stays that way. We read in Acts about the 120 that were gathered in the upper room and how the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And by the day's end, 3,000 people were saved, were converted to Jesus. 120 people, even back in that day, not even a drop in the bucket of population. But much was accomplished, and even from days thereafter, many were reached and many were saved. And the Bible says that there was people added to the kingdom daily, only because 120 made up their mind and they purposed that even though there was only a few of them, great things were going to be accomplished. Not by their power, not by their might, but by the Spirit of the living God. I just wanted to mention just a few small examples in the Bible where great came about. The people who willingly came out of captivity with Zerubbabel were small in number, like I said, especially compared to the first Exodus. But the temple was rebuilt. Zerubbabel was encouraged by the word of Zechariah. The temple got rebuilt. Within a few years, it was completed, and the daily sacrifices picked up, and the praise and the worship, and the priests were back in place. It came about. Judges 7, we read about Gideon. He was going up against the enemy. He lost 22,000 men to fear. God told him, ask them, if you're fearful, if you're afraid to fight this battle, go home. 22,000 people left. The next day, 9,700 were sent home because they didn't lap water with their tongues. Can you imagine how Gideon felt? You know, he had 23,000 people here. Now he's down to 300. I bet he was saying, Lord, the numbers don't add up. You know, what are you going to do with this small amount of men? We're going to get obliterated off the face of the earth. But, you know, God came through. Not only was the battle won with 300 men, but look at their weapons. Trumpets, empty pitchers, and lamps. Now, you will never convince me that battle was not won by the Spirit of God. It was not no power, it wasn't no might of the men.
Amen.
But it was strictly by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
1 Samuel 16, David chosen to be king. He was the youngest of 8 sons, young at the time when he was chosen. If I've heard correctly, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was about 14 or 15 when he was chosen. He went out and he slew the giant with a sling and a stone. Now some people will tell you, oh, it had to be this big old massive stone, you know, just had to about take his head off. You know, I don't know the size of the stone. But I know again, it was not by man's power and it was not by man's might, but it was by the Spirit of God. That enemy was slain and victory was won for God's people that day. David was ridiculed. I think he even talked about his brothers becoming angry with him, telling him to go home. What was he doing there? But he knew who he served. He knew that God had called him. He knew that God was leading him into this with this little small stone, this little small sling, but he never questioned it. And victory was won. Mark 12, the widow woman gave 2 mites. Well, I kind of got curious of how much a mite was worth. And I found out something interesting, and y'all might already know this. Just bear with me. A mite was the lowest form of currency at that time. It was literally worth less than 3/8 of a cent. Oftentimes, it did not even bear the image of the emperor because it was of such unworthy value. 2 mites. She put it in the offering. Small thing, but look at all the miracles and the teachings of Christ that are in the Bible. And as much God as he had in him, you know there was so much done during his 33 years that was not recorded in this Bible. But that woman was mentioned. For those 2 mites, she was mentioned in the Bible. Many other probably greater and more grandeur miracles that took place. But God found fit to put her story in the Bible. And that seed from what she did has touched people and has been placed in people's hearts and lives, and much good has come out of it.
Amen.
A small 2 mites.
Yes.
Mark 4, we read about the mustard seed. Again, got a little curious. I've always heard about, you know, faith of a mustard seed. No idea of even what a mustard seed looked like, so I got a little curious and looked it up. If you take a poppy seed and cut it into 3s, that's the size of a mustard seed. It is an average 1/2 millimeter in size, but it grows between 10 to 15 feet tall. Mark 4, the verse in there that when it talks about the mustard seed, it says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? And then he talks about the faith of the mustard seed. He talks about how it is the smallest among seeds, but yet it grows up into a big tree, and the fowls of the air find shelter. They find shadow, or not shadow, but they find shade in it. Something so tiny. But by his Spirit, by his creation, he created that mustard seed. He gives it life just as he gives life in us. 1 Kings 17, there was famine in the land. Elijah and the widow woman, he asked for a little water and a morsel of bread, but she responded, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. And let me read what the response was. Y'all just bear with me. All right. Let me put the glasses on. Small change in my vision, and it just throws me for a loop. Okay. All right. All right. We may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, verse 13, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. You know, this woman, obviously she had to have that little bit of faith to go and do it. Either that or she figured, hey, we're going to die anyway, you know. Let's just give it to this man. What's it going to hurt? But, you know, she did it. A small amount, small offering. It was all she had to offer. But God turned it around, and she and her family, her household ate. They were spared in the famine. God, by his spirit, it was done. 2 Kings 4, we read about the widow woman. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Now they cried. It didn't say she just went up to him and said, hey, my husband's dead, they've taken my youngins. No, she said, and there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. It was the house of God. The husband of the house, he loved the Lord, he served him, he feared him. His mark was upon the door. And thy creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now you know back then in the day, if you didn't pay your bills, they came and got your children. If your husband died owing money, you know, that's just how they did things back then. They'd come get your kids, and your kids would work as slaves to work off that debt that you owed. So she had lost her husband. Now she was in the process of losing her children. And she cried unto the prophet. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow, not a few. Now, Elisha knew that when you get the oil involved, which represents the anointing, something is going to happen. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. When God's in it, when his anointing is in it, when his oil is poured out upon our small efforts that he has led us to do, much is accomplished. I'm just thankful for his anointing. I'm thankful for his oil that flows upon my head in the spiritual realm, that gives me strength. Amen. That gives me courage. That much is accomplished, not through me, not through anything to do with me, but by his spirit that resides in me. And I would just encourage you this morning, that again, anytime the Lord calls you to do something, to be encouraged. It may not look good at first, The enemy's going to come against you. He's going to try in every way to discourage you and bring you down. But stand strong in him. You know, sometimes you have to get away and encourage yourself. Sometimes you have to get away and not lift yourself up, but lift your cry to God and let him encourage you. Let him strengthen you. This woman, she cried. She cried to the prophet. She knew where the help was from, what would come from. And she cried to him. And God met her. And the oil stayed upon that family. Her debts were paid. Her sons were left in her house. She suffered no more loss. And I would just have to believe that through all these things that happened, the widow women, the David killing Goliath, these other stories that I read, I have to believe that there was other people that took notice. I have to believe that there's other people whose hearts were reached and they were won for the kingdom, because these people dared. They dared to do what God had called them to do, even though it may have seemed insignificant, even though it may have seemed small in the eyes of others. But they dared to believe that God would bring about the increase. I just want, again, to just encourage you to lean on him, that whatever he's called you to do it. His anointing will bring about the work. His oil will be stayed upon you. It will be stayed upon your household. We keep God in this church. He has laid a foundation here, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And he says, upon this rock I'll build my church. I'll build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He talks about building the foundation on a solid rock. For anything else is sinking sand. Isn't that how the song goes, brother? All other else is sinking sand. And you will find that as that foundation is laid, and as it is built upon by God, eventually it will get to the point to where the enemy will literally be under your feet, because he can't reach you, because you're getting closer and closer to God. We know that under the old law in the Old Testament, that the temple of God was an actual physical dwelling place. But we know that Jesus came and he did away with the old law and he brought in himself. And now we are the temple. We are the temple of God. He lives and he resides in us when we accept him as our personal Savior. Build ourselves up. Let his anointing rest upon us. Let him guide us and lead us. We may feel small, we may feel insignificant, but with Christ all things are possible. Brother, that's all I've got to say. I thank you for letting me share.
Hallelujah. Brother, would you come? Hallelujah. And I believe that when God has shared with Sister Mary and through Sister Mary, she's for somebody here today. It's not for anybody else, for me. But you may be here this morning, and you may be wrestling the things in your life that you're doing for God that seem insignificant, and the enemy of your soul discourages you, puts you down, makes you want to give up, makes you want to quit. We've all been there. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You never know how God is going to use your gift. You never know how God is going to use your work for him in people that you probably never thought of. Perhaps this morning God would have us to come to this altar and rededicate ourselves to the call of God, to your ministry, to your salvation, to the call that he's placed upon us to build this church. He's here in this place. Hallelujah. Been doing some reading about seeking the face of God. We need to seek him. This is probably the hardest part of the service, is when it comes time for us to pray. Easy to praise and worship, but hard to pray, because when we pray, God hears, and when God hears, He answers. But if we never pray and we never ask Him, He can't answer. Hallelujah. I want to open the altar. I want to invite you to come. This is a meeting place between us and God. Everything else that we've done, that's just set up. The word has been preached and shared. The Spirit and the anointing has come. Hallelujah. But God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. I invite you to come in the name of Jesus and seek His face. Hallelujah. Jesus, we come to you tonight, today, in the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray, God, He cut up us, and that you touch that one that's discouraged this morning. Oh, Father, this word was for someone here today. Someone who's discouraged. Someone, Father, who's been fighting the battle. Someone who's been charging and feels like they're getting nowhere. But, Lord, you brought a refreshing word of encouragement, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise your name. I glorify your name. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shikarabashandarabarabokondarabasatarabasata. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yedabakarabashandarabarabosi. Hallelujah. Father, we feel your anointing in this place. Hallelujah. Shandarabakorabashata. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Refreshing waters, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Send your Spirit, Lord. Send your anointing, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I feel God working in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, touch my sister right now. Touch her in the name of God. Hallelujah. There's a miracle in the making for today. Sister Linda, can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. I need some ladies to help me. Hallelujah. God getting ready to do something in your life. Hallelujah. 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 I want to get right here. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. The Lord says you've been looking for a breakthrough. The enemy's been beating up on you. He's been putting you down. He's been hallelujah. But turn loose and praise him. I have victory. You have the victory. In the name of Jesus. Oh, go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and worship him. Turn loose and he said, I'm going to bring many people in the kingdom through you. I'm going to bring them. I'm going to bring them. You're going to be my mouthpiece. You've been wanting to be effective for me. God said, I'm about to do it. Oh, give him praise. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody worship God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel it. I feel the Lord. I feel God's spirit all over you. Hallelujah. 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 But by my spirit, says the Lord. Glory to God. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. She cut up on Sunday. Yes. By the Holy Ghost. She cut up on Sunday. Oh, hallelujah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, it's not. Is anything too difficult for him? No, it's not. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. The Lord says that you've been carried by yourself. I've carried you, says the Lord. Man, says the Lord, ye carabo sota, and rivers of joy. Oh, somebody, give him praise and glory. Praise, hallelujah. 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 Today. Hallelujah. I want to invite you next door to to stay if you like for our planning session. Amen. Invite somebody. We've got some things in the back you can take and give to them, and as well as a CD you can give to them, kind of give them a sample of the preaching and all that. So let's stand together in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Michael, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Okay.